have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Good tonight. I'll tell you, our army And we're fighting for our rights and got our war goals on. And I'm telling you, ready to beat somebody down. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to beat the gravy out the enemy. And I'm going to take his hip and break his leg. Just ready to fight in the army of the Lord. Well, it must be Tuesday night. If you're hearing all this at 10 o'clock, it's time for the voice. And I am your host, Apostle Vincent L. Smith. We're going to check around and see who's with us tonight. I know one that is with us because she put on that I'm a soldier tonight, so you can be blessed and charged up. Kimmy Kim, say hello to the people.
Hello, everyone, and I'm ready to break some bread with you, my brother. How you doing today?
All is well, and well is good.
Amen.
All right. Let's see if anything is happening in the Peachy Town. Carl College Park is Apostle Felicia Blythe with us. All right. I guess she started resting already. All right. Is Charlene with us tonight? Charmaine?
Chanel says she may be coming in later. Yeah.
Chanel is coming in later. Woo-wee. All right. What about Upper Marlboro? Is the Bishop elect Richard with us? Okay. Not a sound in Upper Marlboro. What about down in Augusta? Apostle Irvin Whitlow, is he with us tonight? Okay, last week and this week, no Flight, no Richard, no Irvin. Amen, but we're going to go on in Jesus' name, no Pastor Henderson. So I guess it's just me and you again. Sister Kimmy Kim, it's just me and you. I'm going to say the prayer. I'm going to ask you to get the scripture ready. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5:17, or it might be 2 Corinthians 5:17. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 14. Amen.
Okay.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. And we praise you and we glorify you for this wonderful evening, for your great works and your great power. Father, we pray that you will lead us and guide us as we go through this word tonight and do that is necessary. Do that you are calling for. Do that you want our honor and glory for. And we thank you and praise you even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Give Kim, give us our scripture.
Sure. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you said? Verse 7, right?
Yeah, 17.
Okay. Verse 13? Okay. And you said 13?
Is it 5 and 17?
Oh, 5 and 17. Okay. Verse 5 and 17. And it reads, I don't see a 17. 1 Corinthians, or maybe a 2 Corinthians. Okay. Hold on a second. I was like, I don't think there is. Let me see. Let me see. Let me see. 2 Corinthians. 5:17, and it reads, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen. We asked you on last week. I hope you have your same piece of paper wherever you are taking notes. I want you to take that. If any man be in Christ, I want you to make in Christ capital letter, capital I, capital N, capital C-H-R-I-S-T. I want both of those in caps. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. It said, behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are passed away. I want you to take that and write it all in caps. Behold, all things are passed away. Amen. And all things are become new. I want you to write that whole sentence in caps, and we're going to see why. On last week, amen, for those who were not here, we went through verses 1 through 8. Amen, talking and sharing and showing why any man in Christ is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. And we see in the first chapter, as a matter of fact, in the very first verse, it tells you why any man in Christ is a new creature. It uses a word, suspect, which meant to make your position or eyes clear on authority, or which says the authority is of God and is God. So we're not confused about what our authority is. He said that we are to become subject. We are to become trained and ruled by the subject, which is God, and that we are to position ourselves where we are learning from him daily. We found out last week that this scripture does not pertain to a new Christian. It said, if any man, M-A-N, which means you have a relationship, you have passed the baby stage. If any man be in Christ, and then we discovered in that other scripture, if any man, when I was a child, I spake like a child, played like a child, did childish things. But when I became a man, I put away the childish and began to follow God like a man. So we see tonight that this scripture is not for those who are just getting in Christ, but those who have been building a relationship, have been building a prayer life, have been building a word time with the Savior. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And so we thank God that the more we build, the more we subject ourselves, the more closer and the more subject we come to God. And so we learned that much on last week and a little bit more. Mr. Kim, you want to bring up anything from last week?
I really believe that as you are walking on this journey, that each day you're becoming new. I'm not like how I was last year or yesterday. It's something about when you have a relationship with the Lord, he comes to walk with you and talk with you, and he scolds you and he tells you you're wrong. He tells you when you know, you're okay. But, yeah, you're always becoming new each day, and we do have Bishop Yvette on as well. But, yeah, I really believe that when you are on this road, you are becoming new each day.
Right.
And that's
all
what Bishop
right.
Yvette.
That is true. Each day we grow. We become more mature. We become more, amen, adult-like in God every day if we are allowing him to teach us, to reach us to where he would have us to go. Praise God, Bishop Elect. The Lord bless you tonight. So glad to have you in with us.
Blessings to you, sir. Bless you to be part of this podcast. Thank God for you.
Yes, we were just doing a quick overview of last week. We are in Romans 13, verse 8 to 14. Romans 13, 8 to 14, with our standard, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, amen. If any man in Christ, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let us, Kim, read for us tonight. What does verse 8 say to us?
Okay, and the verse 18 you said? It says,
verse 8,
okay. So that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, and it reads.
No.
Romans chapter 13.
Romans 8, I'm sorry. I got to get another one open. Okay. Romans chapter 8 versus what, that's one of my favorite chapters
Romans
in Romans. 8. Thank you so much. Because my phone, I have bad, it's not you guys, I have bad Wi-Fi in my house, so. And it reads, oh, no man, anything but to love one another, for he that loves another hath fulfilled the law. That's Romans 13, verses 8.
So verse 8 says, oh, no man, nothing but what? Love.
But to love one another.
If we're going to owe something, it ought to be a owe or a payment or a
greed
to love somebody. It said nothing else should be binding us from giving the love of God, not owing attention, not owing money, not owing our time, not owing our talents, not owing our education, not owing anything to anyone, but it says that we should be in a place where what we owe is love. Somebody want to talk about that for a minute? How do you leave yourself in a place to owe love but nothing else?
Well, God is love.
Well, that's pretty much the bottom line. But at the same time, because God is love, God expects you to walk in love. See, God is, we must be. And the truth of the matter is you've got to see things through your father's eyes, develop your father's mindset, and have your father's heart if you're going to walk in that level. Part of this problem with people today is they're too busy with the big payback. They've got vengeance on their mind all the time. If it says walk away, oh, no man, nothing but love, that means vengeance has no place or space in anything that you're doing concerning the situation or the circumstance. Kind of reminds me of something. You mentioned 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I believe, Apostle, you might remember this song. There was a group back in our day called the Unity and Community Gospel Choir. And they used to sing a song that had these words: everything must change. Nothing is the same since Jesus came into my life. Made my life brand new. Do the same for you when Jesus comes into your life. Then the sopranos will turn around and say, I'm going to stop right here. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. Places I used to go, I don't go no more. And as I'm equating that to 2 Corinthians 5:17, because as you said earlier, as you mature, as you grow up, you let go of the baby stuff. You let go of the little stuff. There's some things that should be rolling off our back like water on a duck's back. But then there are those. You could tell the level of your maturity. If small things still bother you, then you don't have much maturity. I'm going to stop right there.
Yeah. So it says, don't owe nobody nothing but love.
That's it.
And what did the verse go on to say? Kim, you with me?
Yes. It says in chapter, the remainder, it says, but to love one another. For he that love another hath fulfilled the law. Amen.
All right, it said not only is a principle, but it's a law. Love is worked in, fixed in. Amen. You is. Love is supposed to happen. It's not a whether if we should or shouldn't, who should we love. Love is already fixed in deeper than what we know. All we need to do is carry it through and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
We talk about loving folks, but if the truth was told, we really don't love people. We just love because a love moment is going on. But when the love moment is over, you're just as funny towards them as you were before the love moment started.
Amen.
And so there really is no love going on. Maybe a fulfillment of the moment, but not a real love.
Amen.
And then the Bible asks, how can we love God, but we hate our brothers who we hate? Now, if you see somebody at church, at the store, walking down the street, walking through their car, and you twist your head so you don't have to speak, something wrong with that.
Or if you see a need and you fail to fulfill it and you have the ability to fulfill it, you know, and I like what Solomon said in Proverbs where he says, withhold not from thy brother when it's in thy hand. And you have the ability to do it. That's hate. That's a different type of hatred. We take the word hate, meaning despise, loathe, to have that level of disrespect toward them that you could care less whether they lived or died. But hate has a variation here. And when you talk about the variation, real love is not going to allow you to see your brother or sister go lacking. That's just straight up. Real love will not allow you to, if you will not willingly and knowingly let your brother or sister go lacking, but you say you love them, you love God, and what did God tell us to do? He gave us two great commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. So you've already violated that major commandment right there by not even reaching out to your brother when you had the ability to do it. I hold my thought process right there for a minute.
And give us verse number 9.
I got it from the Amplified Version. I got it. From the Amplified Version, it says, the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Well, we
I want to ask a question, Apostle.
Huh?
Can I ask you a question? How do you feel about punching yourself in the face? I'm just asking. How do you feel about punching yourself in your private parts until it hurts, or cutting yourself with a knife?
None of that works.
Well, I'm just saying, if this scripture is saying what I think it's saying, then the same way we wouldn't do harm to ourselves, why are we trying to do harm to our brother?
Yeah.
Come on. Amen.
It says, because the cover of all of this is what? Love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And if you love one another, there's no way you can do these things to each other.
That's exactly true. That's right. Exactly.
Obviously, there's two people that say they love each other talking about each other. They ain't got
each other.
If you two brothers in the church or brother and sister in the church, but yet you can talk about each other, then you're not a real brother, and there's no love flowing.
Well, can I ask another question?
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, I want to share something, because I just learned this. I should have known this all the time, but I really just got it, like, in the last few months. Somebody, can we define what slander is off the top of our head? I found out that slander is the misuse of truth to one's hurt.
Mm.
It's true in what you might be saying, but you're saying it to do damage to that individual. Can we count that? You can't say you love your brother. If you, all right, I'll give you a good example. You turn around and your brother or sister confides in you. Say they just contracted AIDS. I'm just doing a hypothetical here. They just contracted AIDS, and they find out it's through a homosexual / lesbian type scenario that AIDS was contracted. Again, this is, for anybody listening, this is hypothetical. Please do not take this personal. I'm bringing a point out about slander. And you and this particular individual are getting along, then all of a sudden you have this knockdown, drag out, a high-level argument to the point and place where you go to a mutual friend of both of you and just say, I don't know why I'm even friends with them. They're going to die soon anyway. They got AIDS. They was messing around with that other guy. I mean, if it's a girl, that other girl. If it's a guy, that other guy. And that's how they got AIDS. Why did you do that? They told you that in confidence. So basically, you showed them that you were not their friend. You were their frenemy. I like to use the word frenemy. You're an enemy pretending to be a friend. Does that make sense, sir?
Well, you brought it out. They're slandering and undermining all at the same time.
Exactly. And love has nothing to do with either of those.
No. Love does not even exist when they're carrying on like that.
My God.
You can have the character of love and have the character of undermining and slandering at the same time. It cannot happen.
I mean, the bottom line is we got a lot of folks you know, that tend to try to pull off both. You know, they try to do them both at the same time. And I think James had the best analogy about the bitter and the sweet water. They don't come out of the same fountain. I mean, if you want to wound a person, tell the spill the truth that they did not want revealed. Spill the truth they didn't want revealed. That's the worst wound in the world. Go ahead.
Bitter and sweet water at the same time make a funny taste of water.
You got that right.
I know that from getting water at the spring. Sometimes we had to let the spring run before we put our jugs up under there.
Yeah.
It had a funny taste to it.
It unfiltered at that.
Huh?
Yeah. I said unfiltered at that.
Yeah. Because it had been running too long, unwashed. And so if you put your jug right up under there, you were going to get some bad taste of water. But you wait a minute, and then you put your jug up under there, the water tastes just as fresh as any other time.
Now, you know, that's a country move right there. that's a country move for sure. Only country folk understand that one.
Let's hear our first team.
You got it, Sister Kim.
Okay. Birds. Let's see. Let's go back to that. Oh, I forgot. I was trying to talk, and then I realized I was muted, but my friend Chanel is on. Woohoo! Chanel is in the house. The Robinsons are in the house. The Robinsons.
All right. Let's hear first number 10.
Number 10 reads, "For we must all appear before judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad."
Is that chapter 13?
Oh my goodness. New Romans. Chapter 10 in Romans. You guys are good. "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of law." Sorry about that. I was on my Rome tab. But, yeah, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling."
That was still a good verse that you read, because that could be implemented in tonight's discussion.
Is that something? And I was like, okay, I'm on the wrong one. Oh, my goodness. Is that how you realize you're on the wrong? I can stop. So.
Yeah, but it said on verse 11, "Love worketh no ill." So how can you operate in verse 9 if verse 10 says, "Love worketh no will, no ill"? If it worth no ill, if you are really walking in love, how can you do something evil against somebody else?
Well, I mean, it shows the condition of your heart if you have the ability to do that. And I mean, the scripture backs us up in Jeremiah when it says the heart is desperately wicked, for who can know it?
Well,
I mean,
also,
you claim to – go ahead.
That also lets you know that love is not with them.
Uh-uh. That is not even a trait or a characteristic of love.
Love is not with them. Because if they can do those dirty things that verse 9 says, then we already know they don't operate in love.
Uh-uh. It becomes
they're just
evident.
Religion. They're just religious, but not even fully religious. Just like religious things.
Yeah.
And that's
well,
why their heart can't be full of love, because they don't even know the Savior.
Mm-mm. On top of that, they don't know what real love is.
And that's why from time to time, they have a tendency of going off and going out and doing things that are crazy right outside of the love zone.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're already not connected. What did the rest of that verse say? Kimmy Kim.
The rest of the verse says, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's the rest of chapter 10. It's fulfilling the law.
You can't act up with love because love is natural, spiritual, and it is parliamentary. You can't get away from it in neither realm. You're trying to get away from it. It is there in every which way. How are you going to run from something that is unrunnable for?
Yeah, you can't. You simply cannot. You simply cannot.
George,
but, I mean,
so
you know.
And so actually, to break this down, he said everywhere you go, love is involved. So where are you going? What are you doing?
That's good.
Well, I mean, let's pay attention to what type it's talking about. An unselfish love. Unselfish love, I mean, there's no description for unselfish love except for what it says. Agape is the word that we use to describe unselfish. We usually use the word unconditional. The kind of love God is looking for us to walk into in this particular passage of Scripture is that unconditional love. That love that forgives in spite of, that love that will continue to move forward and not hold the grudge against the individual. Now, I know in the previous verse when it said love thy neighbor as thyself, I mean, many of us, if we're honest, I'm starting to wonder if some of us even love ourselves.
Come
really.
On now. That's deep.
You know why I know we don't love ourselves?
Talk to me.
I would tell you why we don't love ourselves. Because the Bible said it's ugly. You got to love yourself. It's ugly. And we don't like that ugly, so I know we don't do it. You got to love yourself. It's an ugly situation, but it works the good out of you.
All right.
Well, I also believe you can't love others if you don't love yourself. So, and you have to be led by the Spirit to love yourself, because the type of love that the world teaches is quite the opposite of what God teaches. So I have come to learn to love myself, because one thing I learned that you must love in a humbling spirit, not the prideful, because people think when they say they love themselves, it's more of a prideful thing. I'm all this in a bag of chips. That's not how God wants us to be. He wants us to be confident, but after we get his love, we are taught to go and show love unto others. And so that's where I'm at in my life. I have learned to love myself. I mess up. But Kim, you know that was not right, but okay.
Right,
I do fall. I have not arrived.
Amen. That was a good scenario, Kimmy Kim.
It was.
How can we love God more? Who is love and did not love people?
Good question.
God declared he is love. And so if we fall in love with him the more, then we ought to be loving people the more. And if we're not loving people the more, I'm sad to tell somebody tonight, you're not really falling in love with God. You're not getting a deeper relationship in God of love. You're putting on the hip but you're sure not falling in love because he's showing up on you. Behold, all things have become new. You still act the same old way. Can we see something new with the same old act going on? I want to know that. How you got a new part in the play if you're still doing the same line?
To be or not to be? I got a new part. Well, what is it? To be or not to be? Sounds the same
that's
to me.
That's the question.
Yeah, well, you know, some folk are delusional. Let's just be real about that. When we talk about the reality of the human mind, we can cause ourselves to believe almost anything. It's just a question of what is it that we want to convince ourselves to believe. You know?
That's good right there.
I mean,
that was good. Yeah.
Right. That's right.
That's good.
All right, let's hear verse number 11.
Verse 11 reads, and that knowing the time, and now it is high time, awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. But I don't know if you guys heard me, but Chanel is on. Chanel, why are you so quiet?
Hello, Miss Chanel.
I ain't forgot it yet.
Okay. I just want to make sure that, yeah, she thinks she's split, you know, trying to be quiet, that's all.
Yeah, but you know, this verse? This verse said, did you know that your salvation, because of your relationship, your salvation does not mirror them before? Because one scripture told us, know ye not that your salvation is nearer than when you first leave? Don't y'all realize the longer we claim to be saved, the quicker we're getting to the rapture? How can you be getting ready and not be ready?
Well, somebody that's in a state of complacency, somebody that's in a state of mediocrity, a state of melancholy, I guess I covered three of them. I mean, they would be about the only ones who would be in that condition. Because when you're just taking what you do as a business as usual mentality, now I'm going to throw this analogy at you, and if I'm wrong, stop me in the middle of it, wherever you feel like it. You ever seen that individual that knows what time the deacon is going to come in and sit in his chair with his white socks and his ashy legs, and he's going to start singing songs, the same old dead songs he's been singing, and he know what time they're going to have the altar call. He knows what time the choir is going to march in. This is old school. He knows exactly what time the first prayer is going to be offered up. He knows what time the benevolent offering is going to be passed around. And Sister Slate and her ushering, she's going to wag her tail as she's marching down the aisle. You know, they know what time. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be funny, but I'm saying all this because that individual.
I know what you're saying.
When they know what everything that's going to happen, mediocrity and complacency tends to set in. And Paul here looks like he's telling us, look, you got to know what hour it is. That time of complacency, you got to wake up knowing what time it is. It's time to do something different. God don't want us to have church as usual. How long I've been saying this? God is looking for us to have unusual church. And unusual church is not predictable.
Exactly, and that's why you see the pandemic. Yeah.
And even in what you're saying, because you missed last week, even in verse 1, he told us to be subject to authority, not just the pastor, whatever, because he goes on to say that authority is sent by God, that authority is God. So he's telling us to position ourselves where our eye is always on Jesus. Did he start talking to us? or called a Christian, you got to tighten up your relationship with the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay? It's not, this chapter is not even dealing with somebody that got this problem or that problem or not living as they should. These are people already inside of God who do not have the finality of what is supposed to be going on. God His people in this chapter, tighten this up here or else you're going to be messed up.
That's exactly right. Get it right. Get it right.
He's not leading us a whole lot of different ways. But he's saying, tighten yourself up in this relationship of ours because I see you going a little haywire.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us really know God and really walking with God, but yet there are things slipping because we're not paying attention?
That's good.
See, we think because we got our step in during the service, you know, we still connected and ready to roll. Jesus said, no, you owe some people back. You ain't supposed to owe them nothing but love. Your love is a little off. This is wrong. That is wrong. Get it together.
That's
if
what
you
he's want saying.
To know your father me, he said, get it together. He said, because not only do you need to love to get your love together, he said, love is spiritual, love is natural, and love is lawful. He said, you can't get away from love. Talk to me, Sister Nell. Talk to me.
My goodness.
Chanel, you don't feel like talking, or you done went bye-bye on me?
He's probably muted.
Unmute.
I can't hear you on mute. I can't hear you when you're on mute.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had to unmute myself.
Lord, have mercy.
Jesus.
What you want to say to us?
Did you ask a question?
I'm asking you, what do you want to say?
Oh, I'm good right now.
Okay, she says she's good.
I'm
right
just listening.
So, Bishop, mm-hmm. Like that means we got to rock her boat because she's good right now. We talking about all this love and stuff, but she's good right now. So we ain't rocked the boat enough. So what does verse number 12 say? Give it to you.
I'm here.
That verse? Okay.
The next verse says on 13, it reads, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So basically, the night is spent, the day is at hand. That's deep. Basically, he says, you know, you may think that you're getting away with what you're doing in the dark, but it will eventually come out in the light. And, you know, you have to be real with yourself. You know, sometimes people do play both of the fields. And once you realize that, you can really, God can really use you because we all been there. I don't know about you. I know I've been there where I played field, both being Father of Jesus Christ and still hanging out with Satan. So I've done both at the same time. But it didn't get me anywhere. So, yeah. You definitely have to be either hot or cold. So that's what I get from here.
You should be like what you are saying.
Well, let me share. Can I share the amplified version with you? You'll find this rather interesting.
Sure.
It says, the night, meaning this present evil age, is almost gone, and the day of Christ's return is almost here. So let us fling away the works of darkness and put on the full armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly and honorably as in the light of day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and irresponsibility, not in quarreling and jealousy, but clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for, not even think about gratifying the flesh in regards to its improper desires. God's telling us to get out your own mind. Pay attention to the time. Develop the spirit of the sons of Issachar. Know what time it is. Day is almost spent. You know, evil folks.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he tell us, I believe it was in Psalm, told us to fret not ourselves because of evildoers? And there's a reason why he said it, because their season is coming. Their time is coming to an end.
Yep.
Stop worrying about what they
yep.
do. Pay attention to what's in front of you, you know. Mm-hmm. And I like what he said right there as we were looking at that verse. We talk about in carousing, drunkenness, and not in sexual promiscuity. In other words, time out for getting drunk, putting yourself in a stupor to where you could turn around and make the excuse, I didn't know what I was doing because I was drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And then sexual promiscuity, mm-hmm. that speaks to itself. Just because, I'm going to speak for the men first and then talk about the women. Just because she has a nice-looking pair of breasts, a nice round behind, and look like she got a deep pocket, or as some would say, a camel toe, that ain't give you no excuse for wanting to roll up on the sister to try to get with the sister. Now for you sisters, just because he got a good-looking, a nice-sized water hose because you can see it through his skinny jeans, and he's muscular, that gives you no excuse to roll up on him, hoping he'd come and just take everything you got. I'm sorry, did I say that wrong? Anyway, that's what it boils down to. And the irresponsibility comes. Here's, and now this is something that's going to flip us all out. I know this is your show, Apostle, so I'm trying to behave myself. But remember, you started this. Anyway, here's where the irresponsibility part comes in. All these guys running around here having all these 500 babies.
Yeah.
How irresponsible is that?
That's a good point. Wow.
True.
But then you have to remember that sometimes people don't really take God's word seriously. It's like they thinking that they have time to get it right with God, which is not the case, unfortunately.
That's sad. You're right. But that's sad. They that's exactly the way some of them think. They feel like, well,
oh,
I got
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
I'm young. No, I mean, what did the psalmist say?
I get that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all did. I think I did too at one point. But the psalmist clearly said, boast not thyself of tomorrow because you don't know what a day's going to bring. You might be here today and you might be gone. I've heard stories of people who were in health, good physical health, suddenly pass away in their sleep.
Mm-hmm.
If that ain't crazy. You're trying to, we don't know what their condition was. All we know is 1 minute they were here. They looked healthy,
mm-hmm.
sounded healthy, acted healthy, and then the next thing you know, John is gone.
Right.
Because God is not playing, you know? He is not playing.
Mm-hmm. You're right about mm-hmm. that.
He is definitely not playing.
You're right about that.
I can truly say, I agree with you on that one because God said enough is enough. And
like
it looks
the
like the phone went out. You may have to continue until he comes back. It dropped.
It's no problem. So let's just keep moving forward. I like that last, that 14th verse, but put ye on. How do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? How, think about that. Sister Chanel, Sister Dr. Kimmy Robinson, how do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we put him on like we put a suit jacket? How do we put him on?
I think it comes when, you know, when talks about in that scripture, when it says you put on the whole suit of armor, God's armor.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about the breastplate, dealing with the word. And so that deals with the word. So when you get into the word, that is thy breastplate. That is thy armor. That is thy sword.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to meditate on his word constantly, daily, nightly, whatever it is. But you just have to be in his word so you can be in his presence. And that's what putting on, and that's what putting on his armor and putting on Jesus Christ is, his word.
All right. What about you, Dr. Robinson?
Well, this is my answer, but anyways, I concur with what my sister said. I would just add that you put on the whole armor of God along with the Spirit and follow his footsteps, because I feel it's amazing how sometimes God can talk to you in the midst of chaos and he tells you exactly how to, you know, react. And then if you do something that is not pleasing to what he wanted you to do, he will tell you, you know, that was all right. So basically following his instructions, like my sister said, we can be led by our own spirit because we don't have no spirit. We got to be led by the Holy Spirit because flesh is evil and don't have, you know, any righteousness in it. I don't have no righteousness in my flesh. Mm-hmm. My flesh be fighting me every day. My spirit's married, my flesh fight every day.
And
right.
You know what? I'm
like
glad you said
heard,
that. Go ahead.
It's just like I heard, I can't remember who said it, but I was listening to something the other day, and they was talking about, like, we can have the anointing, right? And we can be anointed. However, if the Spirit ain't in you, what is good? You can't use your anointing if the Spirit, if you're not led by the Spirit. It was just like when, analogy. It was just like when the prophet, when he went to, when he went to anoint the king, and it was with David. Now, David had seven other brothers. He had seven other brothers, and it wasn't Samuel. What was his name? He went to anoint the king. God said, "I have another.
Yeah,
I have
Samuel.
A king." Right.
It actually was Samuel.
So it was Samuel. So God said, "I have another king in mind. I have picked him."
Mm-hmm.
So he went to Jesse's house, and he told Jesse, he said, "God said there's a new king." And he said that it's from your sons. So now the thing about it is that Samuel had a horn, and in the horn that was the oil. And so it was said that once the king is there would appear that the oil would flow. Well, Samuel was the prophet. He was anointed. But the oil wouldn't flow because even though he was anointed, the Spirit had to come upon him in order to anoint the king.
Okay.
And so the oil wouldn't flow until the king, until everything was in alignment. Everything had to be in alignment. God had to say, this is who he is. Now let it flow.
Okay.
So, even though, like I said, even though some people are anointed, but when they don't have the Spirit, and when they don't have the Spirit and the Spirit is not there and it's not present, then you can't.
Well, I hear you.
You can't give your word. You can't. You can't cast out demons. You can't. You can't heal the sick. You can't do any of that because, like Kim said, we need the Spirit, and that's what putting on the armor of God is. It's His Spirit because we need it.
Okay. All right. Now let me read this to you in the Amplified because I want you to tie this in. Paul is simply saying to the Roman Church, the night, meaning this present evil age, is almost gone. That means all those who have been walking in darkness, it's not long before the daylight comes, which is the day of Christ's return. It's almost here. Paul instructs us, let's fling away the works of darkness and put on the full armor of light. I'm with you on this, Sister Chanel, where you're talking about. He's telling us to put on the full armor of light. Now he's giving us a way to how we can get that armor on. Verse 13, let us conduct ourselves properly and honorably. How come, when we conduct ourselves properly and conduct ourselves honorably, we're first of all representatives of the kingdom of Almighty God. We are ambassadors for Christ, which means because we are representing the kingdom of God, God is expecting us to carry ourselves a certain way. Now, is it right for, I'm going to just throw stuff out there. Y'all can say yes or no. Is it right for a female pastor to put on a mini skirt that stops at the top of her thighs to where you can see the base of her underwear and put on a blouse where her cleavage is almost out to where her areolas can be seen, or a half shirt to where she's got a belly shirt on? Would that be proper?
No. No, it's not.
Okay.
Oh,
is it even honorable?
No,
that's the physical sense. Okay, let's throw one more thing in there. Is it proper for a female or a male to cuss out the parishioners because somebody didn't tithe or because somebody forgot to do so? You stupid MFs, I don't know who the H you think you play, that kind of thing. Is that proper?
No. No, it's not.
And why do we say that's not proper?
Because that's operating out of the flesh.
Yeah, operating.
Exactly. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Put away the foolishness.
And guess who we have on? Sorry for interrupting you.
Go ahead.
We do have Apostle Urban Whitlow. We have Superstar back. Oh, my goodness.
The blessing of the Lord be with you, Apostle Whitlow.
He forgot
about us. Amen.
Go ahead.
God bless you.
Go ahead, sir. Amen. We were discussing the 13th chapter of Romans. We were down between verses 11 through 14. We were just getting into verse 12, talking about the present evil age being gone and the day of the Lord's return is at hand. And Paul instructs us to put away, to fling, to get rid of, to do away with the works of darkness and put on the full armor of light. You got anything you want to say on that?
Well, if Apostle Paul is saying put off the works of darkness, then that really means that people are going to have to change their deeds.
Mm-hmm.
If you have dark, you're going to do dark things.
Mm-hmm.
Dark deeds will cause you to do dark things because
darkness
goes along with dishonor, goes along with deceitfulness. It goes along with that which is discrediting because it's a dark deed. Or it goes along with that which is devious. And whenever there's something mischievous. So if he's saying put off the works of darkness, he's really saying, hey, stop being mischievous. You know, you got people who are saved, but they're saved on certain conditions, on certain days of the week. So Sunday. Sunday, I'm saved.
Come on.
But Monday, you say the wrong thing to me, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to save you. These are the things that are more
yep. Okay, since you put it that way, keep rolling.
You do have those rights, seriously. What you're
well,
saying is over.
But this, why do you think Paul is telling us to put off the evil works of darkness, even though you have those days? Now, would anybody agree with me? Should we not do something to try to grow out of that state? I know what you're talking about, because there are certain days. All right, for me, Monday is pretty cool because I'm not expecting a whole lot out of Monday. Here's the problem that I have. When Friday comes, I'm dog tired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm exhausted. I have
mm-hmm.
had enough. I can't do anymore. All I want to mm-hmm. do is get to my place of rest and rest. And here you come with your shenanigans and your foolishness mm-hmm. and your stupidness, and all you're going to do is make the Negro rise up out of me.
Yep,
I got to work
me
on
off
that
in
part.
Traffic.
Yeah, well, thank you. That too. You know, I got to work. I don't want to use the excuse that God's still working on me. He's been working on me since the day
mm-hmm.
I got saved. And my spirit was corrected and in perfection, but my flesh is still out of whack. So there are points and times when I'm going to find myself dealing with the work and not necessarily the works of darkness, because the works of darkness are actually deliberate. There's a difference
right.
between having a moment and making a mistake and doing something
mm-hmm.
knowingly and willfully. When you do something knowingly and you do it willfully, mm-hmm. all you have really done, you already plotted and planned in your mind. You premeditated that thing. Just like, and I don't want to bring it, I'm going to bring it back up. When OJ's wife and the boyfriend got murdered, somebody premeditated
mm-hmm.
that bad boy. They had that all set and planned just when the strike, too. Come on here
right.
now.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't OJ. I don't want to sit here and say who it was because that case is dead and buried. They ain't going to pull it up no more. But when they talk about the glove don't fit, it must have quit. There was one person they never looked at. But I'm going to leave that to myself, his son. I'm going to leave that to myself. I'm not going to say who I thought it might have been.
Okay. I think I know where you're going. I think so, too. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But you have those days, and we have to come out of the works. That's the works of darkness right there. We're supposed to put
mm-hmm.
on the full armor of light. What does the armor of light look like? It represents
mm-hmm.
the kingdom of God. It represents the attributes of God. It represents the characteristics of God. It represents
mm-hmm.
the flow of the power, the anointing of God in each and every
mm-hmm.
one of our lives. When light comes, darkness is comprehended. You know what I'm trying to say. When light comes, darkness
yeah.
gets engulfed, gets eaten up,
uh-huh.
gets chewed out, gets put away. When
right.
light
yeah.
comes,
uh-huh.
when light comes. I mean, I was looking
right.
at that last verse, and I gather Apostle Smith, I'm trying to wait for him to get back on. Go ahead, sir.
That's the truth. Light doesn't show up in that one whose body is full of evil. I read a
You're right
scripture
about
that says if there's light in the body, then how great
mm-hmm.
is that light? But if there is
yeah.
no light in that, then how much evil is there?
There
that's
you go.
Why people are crazy of the world, because there's no light
mm-hmm.
in folk. That's why people are lost. There's no light in folk. Why do you think about it saying that the blind lead the blind fall into the ditch? Why? Because there's no light.
All right, you know what?
That's
you're right. You're right. You're right. You almost, Apostle, you almost made me come up with another sermon. You know that, right?
Blindness
All right, I'm
is the blind of light.
I agree with you. See, and you made me mm-hmm. think of something. And I know Apostle going to tell me don't preach it, but somewhere down the line I'm going to sneak it in. I want to preach a message, lose them ditches. That's what the D about. No, you got to lose them because if somebody's leading you to a place that could ultimately hurt you, possibly maim you, I mean, lose it. Get rid of them.
Here's the thing.
Go ahead.
You can't lose. Can't lose them ditches until you lose those stitches.
Yeah.
Hey, don't make me go to the next line. I'm gonna just leave that right there. Okay.
Yep. Leave that line.
Yeah. I know. I ain't going nowhere, Sister Cheryl. You know what I mean? This is a PG radio show. And I'm
okay.
gonna keep it that way.
Let's
a PG
keep it that
radio
way.
Show. Anyway, the bottom line is, and then when we get to that final verse right there, it says he gives us final instructions. Let me pull this out real quick. And this is the Amplified I'm reading from. Here's what he says. Let us conduct ourselves properly and honorably as in the light of day, not in carousing and in drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity or irresponsibility. And we had already tackled that. And we didn't get this part in, not quarreling and jealousy. Why would we fight? And please explain why we think we have the nerve to be jealous.
That's a good one. You know, you shouldn't have that feeling because God is right.
No, but what I'm saying is, to the individual that wants to be jealous, has it not once crossed their mind that, and we say this in the black church a lot, if he did it before, he can do it again, or if he did it for you, he can do it for me. So why are we jealous? Why, if Whitlow is preaching all over the country and in every state, he got,
right.
and I'm saying he got a 48-week schedule, why should I be jealous and I only got a 22-week schedule? Maybe that's all I can handle.
Right.
You know?
Well, here's the reason people are jealous, because people still have the Jacob mentality. I want to be first. I want to be first. Don't want nobody to be first for me. I don't want to be first after somebody. I want to be first. That's it.
It's all about me. It's all about me.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So basically, it's just selfishness.
Self-centeredness and egotistical, an ego trip is really what it turns out to be. We're quarreling and fight. We're quarreling because you're not doing it. Now, I'm going to show you something. Now, we're talking about in our church new members class. And we're talking about what does it mean to be a disciple versus what does it mean to be a member. You can be a member and be a disciple, but the problem with a lot of people being both a member and disciple, they got to remember, membership, now y'all know the old saying, membership has its privileges. You've heard that saying before, right? When people sign up for country clubs, golf clubs, tennis clubs, and places like that, they got certain perks and certain privileges. So they're going to go out and do whatever it is they do according to what those privileges are. But if you are going to be a member of the body of Christ, you've got to understand that you have been assigned a specific area to which you work, and you assist the rest of the body in the area that is not your expertise. Long story short, if God made you a hand, stop acting like an elbow. If God made you a foot, you are not an ankle. If God made you a knee, you are not a thigh, as good looking as you might be. Stay in your lane is what I'm trying to say. Now, I said that. You know, let me say, well, see, I ain't going to say
not
what I am.
Nobody
needs to know what I am. Stay in your lane. You ain't got no, I ain't got no business trying to do Apostle Whitlow's job, and he ain't got no business trying to do mine. None. Even though he might know how to do mine, did God assign him to do mine? That's the first question that needs to be answered. Y'all know?
Amen. Okay.
So that's pretty much where we're at. It's turned into a Bible study. But we're fighting over the dumbest things. You know, and this quarreling has not just begun like just yesterday, because if you stop and think about it, I mean, it might, and I'm just hypothetically throwing something out there. I'm not necessarily saying that everybody's going through this process, but this is the base process, as simple as I know how to make it. It may have started with two babies fighting over a rattle. It may have led to two toddlers fighting over a toy. It led to two little boys fighting over a football, baseball, or basketball. It led for you fighting for a position on a basketball team or a football team or a baseball team. And eventually it led you to the political world where you're fighting for an alderman spot, a mayor's spot, a governor's spot, eventually a president's spot. The point is, quarreling is a part of everyday human living. At some place, some point, some time, you might find yourself. The question is, how do you handle that challenge or the challenge of that quarrel? Which one of y'all is going to grow up and be the bigger man or bigger woman? That's the biggest question right there. Because, I mean, some people say, you dissed me, you know, and the first thing they want to do, why do you think all these little young boys is running around here shooting everybody? Because they try, you dissed me. Who are you?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sorry. I just went there. You got anything you want to add to that, Apostle?
No, I think you spoke well on that. You know, I think you spoke very well. And these are things, again, I think at the end of the day, some people just really have to grow up.
Yeah.
The Bible says that we have to grow up in Christ. We have to grow up. People want to still be childish and have that childish mentality. Well, and there's a difference between child life and having a childish mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
Mm.
Big difference. That's something that people don't want to admit to.
I'm glad you said that, because that brings us to the final verse of Scripture, and apparently we're not going to get Apostle Smith back, so I'm going to just go ahead and bring it down to a close.
It's almost a head drop or something. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The battery might have died.
He was talking, then
anyway,
it dropped. It's like, no.
Yeah, the battery died. No doubt. But listen, verse 14, and this is so important for us to understand, tells us to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision nor even think about gratifying the flesh in regards to its improper desires. We asked the question a little earlier, how do we clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ? And, I mean, there's so many answers to that one. We could say so many things. I know, Sister Chanel, you shared a little bit with us, and Sister Kimmy, you threw something in there. I'm asking you, Apostle, how do we clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ? We're looking for the solution to the problem now.
Well, the way you clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ is by, if you will, dressing yourself in the Word of God.
Yes.
If you dress yourself in the Word of God, you will clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word are synonymous.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
If you are looking, again, to clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, then the key is that you need to engulf yourself in the Word of God. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The only way you can
say
do
that.
That is that you engulf yourself in the Word of God. That's just my thing.
No. To see, Sister Chanel, I only did that so that you could see that what you were sharing was exactly right. There's your confirmation right there. What you shared with us was exactly right. You said the same thing she said earlier, but we just asked you. To me, and I believe in affirming and even confirming where I need to confirm, but to affirm a word that comes forward, we have to dress ourselves properly. If we know truth, we put on the belt of truth. We speak truth. We walk in. Not detour from the truth. Truth has to be part of our DNA. Truth has to be the belt that holds that midsection together. I know, naturally speaking, a belt keeps the pants around the waist and keeps from showing your private parts. Because if your pants drop off and your underwear is holy or dirty or something like that, somebody's going to see it. Yeah, I'm just saying, basically speaking.
You're very detailed. I like you.
Well, I'm detailed only because we got to look at stuff from a spiritual aspect. Too many times we surface stuff, and God don't want us to surface. God wants us to dig deep. He wants us to go under the surface and pull it out from underneath the surface. You know, you got to put on the breastplate of righteousness because there are tender parts of you that need to be protected, i.e. the lungs, the heart, the intestines, the spleen, the, you know, things like the what's that up there in front? The appendix. All these things are up front. Okay, especially the heart. And with that breastplate, it's a protectant. When we put on the helmet of salvation, we gird up our loins, the loins of our mind. We don't let the enemy just say any and everything to us. Whenever putting on the Lord Jesus Christ means putting on the full armor of God. He is the full armor of God. He is the armor of light. He is that and so much more. I mean, I can keep on going with the sword of the spirit, shield of faith, the whole 20 yards, but y'all get it. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say. The bottom line is, clothing ourselves, we make no provision for our flesh. We don't even want to think about gratifying our flesh. Now, I'm going to throw something else out there that we bypass this, and it's been like, it's like beating a dead horse, but this horse is getting up so he can get to the finish line. The bottom line is simply this. When you decide to satisfy your flesh, whether it's sensually, whether it's prestigiously, whether it's from what your eyes see, when you give satisfaction to your flesh, it distracts you from the point, from the purpose that God has placed in front of you. What do I mean by that? Mm-hmm. All right, we could take a common issue here. Let's take and Paul talked about sexual promiscuity just a verse ahead of us. You turn around and you decide, sir, or even ma'am, I'm going to say, because nowadays it has gotten even worse with the women. They've got these little toys, and I seen one of these. I'm going to try to describe it. I don't know what it's called. All I know, come on, don't get silly, stay with me now, come on now, stay with me, don't get silly. They got this little toy.
You brought it up.
One end makes a back and forth motion, and the other end kind of tickles a portion of the woman's anatomy to create a sensation for that woman. And then got the nerve to have a squeeze thing on the end of it, I guess in the shape of a rose or something like that. You know, I'm like, anyway.
Very detailed. How do you know these things?
Like I said, I did.
Oh, okay. That's what he said. Okay.
All right. Now,
I'm
going to tell you like this. If any of you got TikTok, Instagram or Snapchat, don't sit here and tell me you didn't see it. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes.
Oh, wow.
See, that's why I'm saying saints got to stop. I keep saying saints got to tell them, Whitlow, saints got to stop acting deep. Y'all know. Don't act like y'all don't know. But anyway, on the other hand, brothers, they've now created this thing that looks like a vagina. And it has a suction thing where it kind of does what a woman can do with her mouth, okay? So there are things out there. These are fleshly gratifications that I'm pointing out where the scriptures tell us make no provision for the flesh to gratify it with its lustful desires. And the biggest desire any male or female have in this day and age, other than money, power, prestige, is to be sensually gratified. If they can get some gratification. Most women, they figure if they could find a Mandingo man, he's long enough, strong enough, and can get the job done and have her swinging from the chandelier, you know, a couple of times a week, she'd be all right with old boy. Man, the same way. He could find a cutie that he can turn around and get his duty done where he can, you know, take her down. In the deep sense of the word, no, I'm not going there, Sister Kimmy. Don't even think about that. Anyway, that's clubhouse talk. That is clubhouse talk. So we're gonna leave.
Well,
clubhouse
is. I heard that clubhouse be getting buck wild. Like you gotta wipe out the rooms that you go to
I have been in a few rooms in clubhouse where they just raw. You think we raw talk? No, these people.
No, they are actually
right.
Performing. No, they are. I heard that they have like those little interesting things where I'm just saying it's good to discuss this because this is what we're facing. We can't sugarcoat it. I mean, it is what it is. And when you can talk about it, that means we can help them. Yeah, you have to help those who are in despair. That's darkness.
Exactly. I mean, we have to understand why it's important for us not to make, not to even think about gratifications of the flesh, because it will lead you back down the road of darkness. In closing, I want to thank everybody for being here tonight, Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, Sister Chanel Robinson. As Kimmy said, the Robinsons were in the house with each and every one of you listening. Apparently, Apostle Smith phone either died. I said Robinson. Come on, don't do that. Anyway, let's move forward. The bottom line is Apostle Smith, who was with us, not sure what happened to him. We're going to check on him after I get off the phone. It may be that his phone passed out temporarily, but the truth of the matter is it was a great discussion, and I do thank each and every one of you for being here today. And I'm going to invite you back on next Tuesday when you can catch another version of The Voice. Before we leave, if there's somebody that's on this line, somebody listening by way of radio, somebody that might be listening to this podcast, and you do not have a Savior that you can call yours in the person of Jesus Christ, God has laid out a plan, and God has given you a condition and showed you how you can reconnect with Him. Yes, many of you think you are the children of God, and the truth of the matter is, unless you're saved, born again, spirit filled, you are just the creation of God. I got some good news for you, though, and I call it the ABCs of salvation. A, if you can acknowledge the fact that you do not have a Savior and that you are a sinner, you are a candidate for salvation. If you believe that God sent His Son Jesus to die for your sins, you are a candidate for salvation. All you have to do now is just confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is, in fact, God come in the flesh, that He is Lord. The Bible said it, not Apostle Whitlow, not Dr. Robinson, not Sister Robertson, not Bishop-elect Richard. None of us could say this. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. It is with your heart that you believe unto salvation, and it is with your mouth that you make the confession that leads to salvation. We can lead you in a prayer, or you can ask God, ask Jesus to come into your heart on your own. All you simply have to say is, dear God in heaven, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I believe you sent your Son to die for my sins. I therefore confess Jesus as Lord of my life, receive and accept Him as the Lord of my life. Come into my life and teach me how to live for you. From this day forward, I confess Jesus as Lord. If you've prayed that prayer, we want to welcome you to the family of Almighty God. There are some things that we can share with you. Reach out to us on the Pastor's Corner. Go to Facebook Live, look up the Pastor's Corner, and request material concerning being a new creature or a new creation in Christ. We do have some things we can share with you. Until next Tuesday, for The Voice, and on behalf of Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith, I am Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Say. May the peace of God continuously. To Kimmy Robinson, the floor belongs to you. Let that song rip.
We all have those moments when we doubt ourselves and those storms arise. And that's the moment when you know you need a miracle.
It's gonna take a miracle. Do you believe in miracles? See, He's a walking miracle. Stress after stress after stress, and you wouldn't even get out of bed. Feeling that your life is depressed, and everything that's going through your head. See, you are not alone.
There's a lot of people like you, feeling that you're on your own. But let me tell you that somebody's with you. See, he has been there with you from day one,
day one, day one.
And all them times you figure you was done. See, he was right there ordering your steps. And he don't fight for you till his last breath. It's gonna take a
miracle.
Do you believe in
miracles?
See, he's a walking
miracle.
Everybody needs a
miracle.
It's gonna take a
miracle.
Do you believe in
miracles?
See, he's a walking
miracle.
Everybody needs a
hero.
For the life you have,
the life you have.
And he wants you to have faith and hope, so you'll stand.
Oh, you'll stand with me.
And if you believe, then he will make that path.
Because he's the one.
Everybody looking for the hero so bad. It's gonna take a miracle. Do you believe in
miracles?
Say he's a walking
miracle.
Everybody needs a miracle. It's gonna take a
miracle.
Do you believe in
miracles?
Say he's a walking
miracle.
Everybody needs a
hero.